talk about a parable. The parable of the house upon a rock. Now this is found in Matthew chapter 7 and also in Luke verse 6. Let's do the one in Matthew chapter 7 first. If you're reading along, turn to verses 24 through 29. The parable goes like this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So let's go back and get some understanding on this, because the word is great, but understanding is what really makes it come alive within your mind. So Jesus said that this is someone that hears these sayings and does them. So he begins this parable by expressing the value of a person accepting the words, which means to hear them, but also doing them, which is very important. And what he says is that this is like someone that builds a house on a rock. Now, this would be symbolic of building a spiritual house within our mind. Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about a house not made with hands that's eternal in the heavens. And we build this on the witness that we get from God. And that's what the rock is symbolic of. As Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, he said, when he was asking, who do men say that I am? And they had a variety of answers. But then he said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. Jesus said, well, upon that rock, God will build his church. So it was the witness that Peter had gotten that Jesus was the Christ. That was how God would build a church or a spiritual house in Peter's mind. So in verse 25, it shows that when the rains and floods come and the winds blow, that house won't fall. So the rains, the floods, the winds, these show perverted doctrine and perverted spirit that fight against the house that God wants to build in a person's mind. If that house is built on the witness that we received of God, then no evil thought or evil spirit will be able to cause it to fall. Then Jesus gives us the other side of the picture when he says that if someone hears these words and does them not, they're like a foolish man that built his house on the sand. Now this shows the contrast. It shows what happens when a person hears, oh yeah, those words, they're right. Many people say that about the Bible, but they don't do them in his or her personal life. This is like James 1:23 that says that if we are a hearer only and not a doer of the word, it's like looking at your face in a mirror, and then you go your way and you forget what you even looked like. You forgot if there was dirt on your face you needed to wash off. That's what it's like to look in God's word and believe it's right, but not apply it within your life. So this person is called foolish because that's what it's like to build a house, a spiritual house in your mind on a shifty foundation, not doing what you know to do by God's word. Now when the rain and the flood and the winds come this time, the house falls down. So again, rains, flood, wind, this shows perverted doctrine, and it fights against this house. The house doesn't stand. It comes crashing down. This is because we haven't built on the deeper depth of God's spirit or the witness that we have gotten in that. We haven't built a spiritual body of information because we haven't applied in our own life what the word said. Now, when Jesus was done talking, the people were astonished because they realized that he had authority in what he said, not just the way the scribes read and reread the scripture day after day. They were astonished because he had the point. He had doctrinal points within his mind, and he had assurance. This was what moved through his mind. So let's read the same parable in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46 through 49, if you'd like to read along. Here, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So Jesus is speaking, and he says, whoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So this is the account of Luke, a very similar to the one that we just gave in the book of Matthew, with a few differences. In 47 and 48 it tells us, again, whosoever accepts the words of Christ and does them is like someone that builds a house. This is again referring to the spiritual house that we spoke of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it shows the importance of building one's spiritual house on the witness we get from God, as we saw in Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. If we do that, no evil anywhere can make that house that we've grown within our mind fall. So, in 49, we have the same contrast. In Luke, earth is substituted for the sand that was mentioned in Matthew, but the understanding is the same. If we hear God's word and we don't apply it within our life, it's just like building on a very poor foundation. In Matthew, it spoke of the sand. If you stand on the sand and the water comes in, it will take the sand right out from under your feet. If we build on the earth, the rain, flood, river comes in, and it will take our house away. Our spiritual house, the body of information that we grow within our mind, needs to be built on a firm foundation, or it will fall when it comes in contact with different evil outside forces. So the parable shows the importance of making sure that the foundation that we build our lives on is firm and solid. It's no mistake that Jesus was the son of a carpenter and that he was a carpenter by trade. He was a carpenter in the spirit realm. He built a spiritual house within his mind, and he built that within the minds of the believers of the early church. Paul called himself a master builder. He was building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The foundation can provide the witness which will protect one's mind from being damaged by false ideas and doctrines. So let's go on to another parable. This is the wages of a penny, and we read this one in Matthew chapter 20, and it's in verses 1 through 16, if you'd like to read along. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out again the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man has hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when the evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, Call the laborers, and give unto them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So let me tell you right off the bat, the penny is symbolic of eternal life. Keeping that in mind as we go through this, the parable is going to be very clear to you. So this is about the kingdom of heaven, and it's a man that was a householder. He went out early in the morning to hire laborers. The man in the parable is symbolic of God, and the vineyard is the house of Israel, as we read in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. That's a key scripture. The laborers are those that are responsible for keeping the vineyard. So he agrees with the laborers for a penny a day and sent them out to work. Every job has wages connected with it. In this case, the wages that God pays us or pays those that labor in his vineyard, the wages are eternal life, like it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We get eternal life by doing spiritual work for God. So he goes out again about the third hour, finds some that are idle. The third hour pictures a particular spiritual work that's in progress. God needs more workers in his vineyard at that time. And so he says to them to go to work, and I'll give you whatever's right. Now, he doesn't really specify here that it's a penny also, and he does about the same thing at the sixth and the ninth hours. So God sends those laborers into his vineyard also to work, and they receive wages. And again, when God needs more laborers, he goes and he finds them. And the work continues on, in verse 6, till the 11th hour. And God still needs more laborers, so he goes and gets them and hires them to work spiritually, to do works for him in his spiritual vineyard. So at evening time, which is pay time, then the Lord calls the steward and says to pay these people, and they all get a penny. So once the work was done, God gives his laborers our wages. The last of the first has spiritual significance. The last are the last ones to be hired. These are the ones who come to the labor after much of the work has been done with the vineyard. But the fact that they were the last to participate in the work doesn't take away from the labor that they perform in God's service. The reward is still eternal life, which is, like I said, what a penny is symbolic of. The first are those that God used first in his work. They're the ones who are called to begin the labor with God's people. And they also get eternal life. As it tells us in verse 10, the first came, they thought they might receive more, but they got a penny. So the ones that worked in the heat of the day, the ones who had labored from the beginning of the work of God, they also receive eternal life, which, as we said, is what a penny is symbolic of. So when they got it, they murmured against the good man of the house, figuring, well, we worked all day, we should get more. So this was evil spirits that made them think they should get a greater reward for their work. After all, they had worked much harder and longer than those that came into the work later. But it's just not that way with God. Here, the question that's asked is, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't you agree for a penny? So God's question relates to the wage that he had contracted with them for. The wages is a penny, while the wages for doing spiritual work in God's spiritual vineyard is eternal life. No more, no less. It doesn't really matter when we come into this work. That is the payment that God gives us, eternal life for being willing laborers in his vineyard. So he says, take what's yours, go your way. I'll give unto the last even as unto thee, because it is lawful for him to do with his own what he will. And we should not let our eye or our understanding become evil when we see that God gives willingly and freely of his eternal life to whosoever is willing to work for God, no matter what time they come into the work. And verse 16 said that the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Now this is quite deep spiritual understanding. And if you find that you're interested in that, you might want to call or write us and ask us for more understanding on that particular topic. But to sum up the parable that we gave today, the agreement was to provide eternal life. This is the wage for working for God. This is what we always get if we do God's work and are faithful in that. We will get eternal life. So you just heard many scriptures in regard to this particular parable. Are you willing to examine the beliefs that you have been taught and compare them to what the Bible teaches? It's a good and noble thing to do, as it tells us in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than they in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone else's word for it. Take God's word for it. Study of the scripture lets us know what God thinks and how he feels about different topics.